Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Sandra.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode. We are on episode 15 of season 2, Lost and Found.
Yes.
No, I wonder what got lost.
And I wonder what got found. Jess, you're doing the summary this week.
I am doing the summary. And
are you ready?
I'm going to do my best.
All right.
I believe in you. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Jess's stuff has arrived and Luke's apartment is a disaster. Lorelai grudgingly hires Jess to clean their gutters. Luke and Jess go apartment hunting. Rory wants her mom and Jess to get along. Dean notices Rory's bracelet is missing. Jess and Lorelai attempt to bond over leftover Chinese food. The girls hunt for the missing bracelet. Luke has an apartment rant, and Luke and Lorelai pretend to be married. Uh-oh, Taylor owns the apartment. Lorelai catches Jess in Rory's room. Rory finds the bracelet. Lorelai confronts Jess, who fights back. Luke buys the building next door and begins reno with a sledgehammer through the drywall.
And 2 seconds is fair.
Woo!
Woo! Good job!
You got
much
it.
Better than I did.
I will tell you, the original draft of that was like a full 30 seconds longer because we were talking about it before we started recording. This episode only takes place across like an afternoon and then one full day, but they pack a lot into this day.
Yeah.
One question. Did you mention Dean?
Dean notices Rory's bracelet is missing.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, that's the one
originally. Originally, I did say Dean and Rory go book shopping, and Dean gets bored and notices Rory's bracelet is missing. However, that did have to get cut for time.
Okay. Understandable. Well,
if only you could have mentioned Kirk.
Yes, he was present.
I believe you do not get a point. Not getting a point.
Agreed.
No, wait. You get a point?
No point is good.
No point is good. Oh my god,
points
guys.
Are bad.
We're never going to get this.
Points are bad.
We're going to have to change this up next
points
season.
Points are bad.
Consistent.
Yeah.
Points are bad. No point. No point today.
Well, let's start this episode discussion. We start in walking through Stars Hollow Square, and Lorelai is hurt.
Lorelai has been gravely injured in the line of duty.
She's dying.
Goodness, she might be turning into a superhero.
Attempting to clean her own gutters.
I have a quick
thing.
Such
a brave soul.
Do Rory, like, we constantly see Rory and Lorelai walking to Luke's, implicating that their house is pretty close by, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically, but I don't think we ever get a definitive, like, direction.
Yeah, I guess.
But they always seem to be coming from this direction.
Yeah, that's true. That, maybe, like, by the gazebo.
Maybe they live across, like, diagonally across the town square to Luke's, it seems.
Maybe they
like,
live
that's
behind
the
Twickham house. You can kind of see it in the background.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, she's hurt, and she wants some pancakes. They're gonna soothe her soul. And they arrive to Luke's, and Luke is nowhere to be found. But imposter Caesar is...
A man named Caesar, who works at Luke's Diner, is present.
Okay, so I actually looked this up. The main Caesar, the one that we, like, know pretty well.
As Caesar.
The one who talks.
His name is Aris Alvarado, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he is...
He's a pretty well-known comedian,
yes,
if I remember.
I think so, yeah.
He was also at Rory's Dance as a Chilton student.
Oh, wow.
And canonically, he was a Chilton student. who became...
And apparently it went really poorly and he got kicked out and had to get a job as a diner guy.
Because...
Wait, canonically?
Actor said ASP? That this was... The intention was that he was at the dance as a Chilton student and now works for Luke. I don't...
What are the chances? That's so wild.
And yet Rory never mentions that they went to Chilton together. Nope.
Never that is like, oh, that's Caesar. I don't know. He was a year older than me. Nope. And then there's another Caesar, which is this Caesar in this episode. For the life of me, could not find this actor's name. Because I think he's just an extra.
I think he's in a couple of episodes. Because I was watching season 6 and I feel like I saw him in the background. So I feel like he sticks around for a while just as a random...
As a random Caesar?
Background Luke's employee.
And then there's also the Asian man who works at Luke's, who is also called Caesar.
It's really bad.
It is really bad. In my head, I just think that Luke has a stipulation. You have to be called Caesar. And he breaks that stipulation with Lane. And then never again.
No, I assume it's he hires them on with whatever their name is going to be, and he's like, just so you know, your name is Caesar now.
Oh, no.
I know it's legally not that's Caesar, but that's worse. Going to be what I call you.
Like the Witcher calling all of his horses Roach.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, Luke.
Well, regardless what Caesar it is, Caesar cannot cook pancakes, and Lorelai just wants some fluffy pancakes.
So much so that she's going to go right up to Luke's apartment and make him cook for her, which I find a lot of the world of Gilmore, like, romanticized and fun. Like, oh my gosh, how fun would it be to run an inn if you could do it the way that Lorelai does it? How fun would it be to run a diner if you could do it the way that Luke does it? Except that if you lived above and customers just thought they could go up to your house and demand that you work for them, not my idea of a good time.
I'll give it I feel like Lorelai is probably the only one that has the audacity to do that.
Yes.
Lorelai kind of bothers me in this scene, though. I'm like, girl, come on. Like, he has things to do. His whole life does not revolve around you and what you want to eat at his diner.
I will give you both this, because you both seem to be on the same page. However.
But then again, it's cute.
It is a really cute scene.
Yes.
It
is a cute scene.
His apartment is a mess.
I never had those thoughts until I watched it for the podcast. I was like, oh, we got some boundary issues here.
Lorelai and boundary issues. Name a better partner. Anyways, the apartment's a mess. Jess's stuff has finally arrived. How long has Jess been here? Months.
I mean, he's been here for a while at this point.
I would say at least a couple months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a lot of stuff. Like, kind of a surprising amount of stuff. I know that the whole point of this episode is, like, Luke's apartment is so small, it's too small for two guys to live in. But, like, Jess has enough stuff to fill his own apartment. How did it fit all into his place with Liz?
I think the problem is there's, like, 20 boxes. All of them are 3/4 full with just stuff sticking out of it.
Yeah.
And it's all put on top of Luke's stuff.
Yeah,
so, like,
true.
Nothing's really been put away. Nothing's really been organized. I do think it's too much stuff to organize into this apartment.
I agree.
I think Lorelai has a very good point there that it's too small for the both of them. But I mean, it makes sense. All of his, I'm assuming he has a crap ton of books like Rory and all of his clothes.
That's true.
And I feel like Liz just got rid of everything. Anything that could have been Jess's, in.
She just threw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, we have to remember, too, as far as we know, Liz is some kind of addict or something that does not have her life together.
Not the Liz that we find.
It's expensive to ship that much stuff, too. Like, honestly, for her to ship that many boxes would have cost a lot even back then. So, she really got him out of her life.
But Jess comes out of the bathroom, apparently having been there for 2 hours. Don't want to know. But, like, I just gotta imagine he has no space. So he crafts his space. Where can I be alone? In the bathroom. Like, there's no space in this apartment for two grown men.
No. Like, you can go hide around the corner, and that's about
it.
In which case, to do that, you would be on... We'll get there. We haven't gotten to the full discussion yet, but we will get to the discussion about Luke and his single bed.
Yes.
Yeah,
but for now, Luke and Lorelai are flirting, and, like, there's a ledger and pancakes and blah, blah, blah. They're very cute. I like it. I understand that
and
she,
to be fair,
you know.
If Luke truly had an issue with it being a boundary thing, like, I have no question in my mind that he'd be like, you can't do this. Go down there, Caesar, let Caesar make your pancakes, leave me alone.
Yeah. I mean, think about, like, the time that he went, she went up there with Rachel, and he was horrified. Yeah. He was like, ooh, get out. He's not like that this time.
And this time was so much worse. He was so embarrassed when she saw his place the first time.
Yeah.
His house is a literal disaster zone right now. Yeah. Like, it's amazing how messy it is.
Well, we move on to Rory and Lorelai. They're having movie night, so they're picking up ice cream, and they've already picked up some movies. And Lorelai's talking about getting a tattoo. And now it's Mel Brooks. I don't know. But
Mel Brooks is great.
Mel Brooks is great. I don't know if you would want him tattooed on your ass, but
I would not want his face tattooed on my ass. Maybe a quote.
Do you guys have any tattoos?
I do not. I have nothing against them. What's one day, that? Maybe.
I think I have 5.
Ooh.
I'm counting in my head. What ink
Mel
do
Brooks
I have
face
on my body?
Is not one of them.
Mel Brooks' face is not one of them. Can confirm it is not. So I have a tattoo on my foot for miscarriages that I've had. My very first tattoo I got is on my back between my shoulder blades. It's a rose with a treble clef on the stem.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a representation of my love of music and for my grandma, whose name was Wanda Rose. I have a Harry Potter quote down the entire side of my torso.
What quote?
Happiness can be found in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light. Which I know is technically not in the books.
I'm enjoying it.
And see, I have birds on my arms that I got with my best friend. I think that's it.
Okay.
There might be more that I just honest to God can't remember.
What about you, Sandra? Do you have any?
I only have one, and it's an anchor, but it's a little hard to see. And I got it with my best friend. We were 19 years old, and we got it based on a May Day Parade song.
Nice.
You be the anchor that keeps my feet on the ground. I'll be the wings that keeps your heart in the clouds. So she got wings and I got the anchor. Right.
I like that.
Yeah. And it's the only tattoo I have. I think it's going to be the only tattoo I ever get. It was pretty painful. Like, it was fine going up, but then when it hit the bone, it was just, I couldn't.
You know what's
it.
Really fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to show you guys this tattoo, okay? So, this goes.
It's pretty high.
Yeah. Rib cage.
Literally, like, up to the side boob and down to the hip.
Oof.
So, getting that done was very interesting because I would be in excruciating pain from the rib, and then I would be tickled from, like, the waist.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm like, I don't know how to feel.
Well, I don't think Lorelai is ever going to get a tattoo. I don't think she would handle the pain very well. If she can't handle the little
She would complain too much.
Or at the very least, she would just be complaining to the tattoo artist the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can 100% see, like, the tattoo artist getting, like, 10 minutes and, like, I'm done. I can't handle you. Go find somebody else to finish this.
Well, as they're walking, they pass by Luke's. And Luke is watching TV on the smallest television.
It's so small.
That I've ever seen in my life.
My grandpa has one
and
of those.
His first comment is like, it's a great TV for ants. Like, it's so small.
Is his mom somewhere around here?
I think that's my favorite. Where's his mother?
Is this his first time away from his mom? Yeah. But Lorelai finds out that Luke hangs out in the diner by himself at night just so he has a place that's, like, quiet to himself.
Which, by the way,
because
why
the
is the diner closed?
It's not big enough. I think it's probably pretty late.
But they're about to have a movie night, no?
9 o'clock?
I mean, it looks like it could be, like, could be after, like, late after dinner time.
Kinda. I guess I'm from New Jersey. Diners are always open.
Yeah, this is a small town. I mean, even where I live, like, shops don't open until, like, 10 or 11 on the weekends, and they close at weird hours. Like,
I remember in high school, my dad and I were getting ready to go to the mall one day, and we got there, and they weren't open yet. And this is before, like, you know, internet cell on phones, cell phones was a thing. So we had to drive up to the door and walked up, and I was like, oh, Dad, they don't open until 11. It's 10. I guess we go home.
Yeah. Well, Some of us like to get our things done in the morning, but whatever.
Shopping isn't one of them.
But you were saying, Jess?
Oh, I mean, like, it's just, it's sad that Luke doesn't feel like he has space in his own apartment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of it is we quickly find out that Jess likes to sleep with the music on extremely loud. Yeah. And so Luke really can't be there with that. But they need a bigger place. And Lorelai kind of puts that idea in his head a couple times this episode.
So that part, it kind of makes me feel for Jess. Because I have a feeling that if the only way you can sleep is with loud music playing, you're drowning something out.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, too. You could
give the arguments that it just he lived in New York City and it's loud. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, living with Liz with a revolving door of men, I have a feeling it wasn't just the city sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother, when he came back from, and obviously this is not the same, but when he came back from Iraq, he had his stereo on all the time, right? We actually got used to his room having the light on all the time and then the stereo on all the time. And, like, it is a PTSD syndrome. Like, it's something that people do that have PTSD. And, like, I can't help but think that Jess, something happened to Jess.
Yeah. Like, if nothing else, it's just that's what he had to do, like, as a kid to, like, not hear what he didn't want to hear. And you just get used to things. Like, the human body is really great at being like, okay, I've adapted. Yeah. This is life now. And he just, he can't do it any other way. Poor kid.
That being said, maybe he lived right next to a train station. And was
who knows? Yeah. But
I mean, it really could just be city sounds he was trying to get rid of.
But no, I thought the same thing.
It is very loud.
Yeah.
But then Luke throws something out to Lorelai of, hey, find somebody to clean that gutter for you?
No, are you offering?
How about? So hesitant.
Not even hesitant. She's just straight up like, oh, I have other people.
And I'm kind of surprised Luke didn't call her on it because it's, no, are you offering? Hint, hint, smile, smile. How about Jess? Oh, other people, cough, cough, maybe we'll see, runs out the door.
I mean, I think at that point, Luke would be the rude one. Like, if he called her out on it. Does that make sense?
Well, it also, it seemed like a couple of things kind of went over his head in this episode that, like, maybe an earlier Luke would have caught onto.
Is Luke dumbing down? Or is this just an episode thing?
I mean, this episode, they also talk about him being a healthy eater. And
yeah, it was nice to get back to that.
Like, the dream date would be going to a juice bar or something. And I was like, Luke James?
And baseball.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah, and Lorelai lies. And as they are leaving Luke's, Rory does call Lorelai out on it. Like, really? Who are these people? Sid, Lou, random person?
Schmitty.
Like,
Schmitty.
No.
Yeah, because Rory is really adamant in this episode about Lorelai giving Jess a chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is, like, really, really pushing to the point where Lorelai calls her and is like, why is it so important to you? And Rory gives essentially the same excuse that she gave last time with, he's Luke's nephew. We love Luke. It's important for us to like him.
One thing
but
in that,
based on a conversation they have, it's more.
In that little, I wouldn't say argument, but just back and forth of, like, Rory, like, trying to get her to, like, Jess, she mentions that Lorelai didn't like Luke for the first 2 years.
Yeah, and she called him Duke.
And now you love him. And Lorelai immediately goes, well, okay, wait, right? But Rory continues on. And I thought that moment was a little something.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because look at what happens later in the episode when somebody mistakes them for a couple. Like,
yeah. I will say, I think Rory pushes a little too hard at this moment because Lorelai should be able to say, I am not comfortable with him at my house.
That is true.
And that should kind of be the end of the discussion.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go with it's early 2000s. And at the time, that apparently was not a valid excuse for a woman to not want to be around a man, which is absolutely
like, that
not
could
right.
Have been a total mom card thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not comfortable with him at our house. That could be a mom card that Rory would have to accept. Of course, you know, Rory does see a different side of him And that's the whole point here, is that Rory sees mm-hmm. a very different side of him, even, like, moment to moment when he does finally show up at their house. But
yeah.
Miss Patty in the golf cart while, like, exercise group. So funny.
And
I
walk,
loved it so much.
And walk. And walk.
It was such a cute moment.
Just like a late night aerobics group.
Right. Kind like of, the diner's clothes, but they're exercising. They're getting ice cream.
Number one, it is not healthy to exercise this close to bedtime, so I don't know what y'all are doing out here this late at night.
They're all night owls.
Miss Patty, you're running this class. Shouldn't you be walking with them? Like, do as I say, not do as I...
Hey, she's the instructor.
Do as I say, not as I do.
She's the instructor, not one of the exercisers.
A good leader should never have to ask somebody to do something that they wouldn't do.
That's fair.
Well, maybe Patty isn't a good leader, and I think she'd probably be okay with that.
Right?
This is true.
She's not even driving it. It was like an older lady driving it. Yeah. So funny.
Yeah, she was trying to get her cigarette lit at the end of it.
Luke does eventually wrap up with the TV mm-hmm. and goes up to his apartment. And I mean, it's even worse now than it was when Lorelai was there. Jess is kind of like buried amidst the clothes and the stuff, which like, I was a messy teen. I get it. I used to have tons of clothes on my bed and I would just kind of push them over and sleep in it. But like, Jess is literally sleeping on a mattress on the floor. So it looks like he's just buried in it.
It's so cute. He looks so innocent. Like
he's wearing his clothes.
Like, he's wearing that camel shirt that like, God, he's going to.
Oh yeah.
Like,
it's a great look.
He really wears this shirt many times. Like,
I mean, he's just getting his money out of it.
Yeah. That's fair.
I can only assume he bought it with his own money.
But at this point, probably. There are so many boxes filled with his clothes.
Yes, now there are. But, like, I connect so deeply with, like, Luke in this moment of this, like, he's been putting up with it, and then he just snaps, and he cannot handle the mess anymore.
Yeah.
For me, that's, like, when I hit, like, you know, like, a manic point, and I'm like, I'm gonna clean everything, I'm done with this. But for Luke, he's like, we are looking for an apartment. We are getting out of here.
I mean, he's like, we are moving tomorrow. I'm like, I don't think you can move that fast, but I appreciate the urgency.
Well, it's like, at 10 a.m., I want you washed, moosed, and ready to go. And I love that.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want him going into the bathroom at 10 a.m. getting ready to spend 2 hours moosing his hair.
Right.
Yeah, because that is a joke that was made earlier. Mm-hmm. Something about his hair isn't just bouncing ready or something, but
yeah, when he walks out.
I will say something. Jess and Luke, their relationship is getting a little better. It's not as bad as it
I would agree.
It's still not great.
They're getting they're getting more of a rapport. Mm-hmm. They're feeling each other out better and finding that they have like similar senses of humor and stuff like that. It's getting better, definitely.
Because this next scene, they're apartment hunting, and you can definitely tell they're related.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, they're constantly, they're shooting each other down for the same reasons, basically. Yeah, they're bickering.
Yeah.
Neither of them can
settle
in an apartment.
Bicker. Yeah. I don't think you can bicker with somebody like that unless you have, like, a good, like, a close relationship
right?
with
yeah.
them.
But neither of them can settle an apartment without the other one having an issue with it. And, like, the issues are so stupid.
Oh, yeah.
To paint it. That one has a cat.
There's too many windows. Which, I actually, the windows are, I feel like that one's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's really nice that Jess has a say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Luke really wants Jess to be involved in this, and it is not until Jess is like, I have to go. Lorelai is expecting me that he gets excused from this excursion.
Right. Yeah. But he also has his little, like, I'm here. I was told to come here. I came here. Like, I'm going to go wherever you tell me to go.
Yeah, a bit of an attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do love that Luke's like, I'm going to take some Polaroids to show you. It's like, aw, Luke.
Luke,
so
where's
sweet. He's trying.
Where's his Polaroid camera that you supposedly have? Those things were bulky.
Back at the Gilmore Girls' house, Lorelai found an alarm clock that does barnyard animal sounds. And isn't that what got her in trouble at the Chilton, like the first day of Chilton?
Well, it's like
the blue fuzzy clock didn't purr on time.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I love animals. My degree is related to animals. I've worked with animals a lot. Pig sounds are not the sounds that I would choose if you gave me any barnyard animal to wake up to. Pig sounds are, like, generally not great.
What would you choose?
I would probably choose something like sheep or chickens.
The chickens.
I like horses, too, but, like, horse sounds can be a little scary.
I just, my brother who lives in Jersey, his neighbor has roosters, which...
Those are annoying.
Yeah. Kind of blows my mind that people... None of these are Big Lots. Like, it's neighbors. You're literally right on top of your neighbors. I'm like, how do they allow roosters in the in the city limits? What
is this?
A lot
of them don't. So maybe they're illegal roosters.
I don't know. But it's just a cranky old man living with two roosters in his backyard. So every time I go to visit, I'm woken up at like 5:30 in the morning with these damn roosters going off. I just want to go yell at this cranky old man, but apparently he's going senile, so.
The ducks are kind of nice, too, that
ducks
she plays.
Would be nice.
The ducks are okay.
Well, there's a knock at the door, and Rory goes to get it, and it's Jess. He immediately hands her a CD. Or hands is a... He throws her.
I guess tosses.
Yeah, he tosses her
tosses
a CD.
Her a CD.
And just tells
her
she's
getting better. Remember how she snapped when Dean threw something at her?
That was a bad
one. She just catches it from Jess. Still,
to be fair,
sharp edges on
today,
a CD.
Rory has had a good day so far and is paying attention.
That is true.
To the person tossing things to her.
And it's something that she would like versus a basketball. Mm-hmm. She definitely does that.
This is true.
And like, she's like, I don't know, they just have a conversation. Like, he tells her everything.
It's flirty. It's nice. It's two teenage kids with similar interests discussing their similar interests.
And then Lorelai arrives, and he's like, one word answers.
Well, yeah.
Hey.
Before she arrives, though, he comments on her hair. He's like, did you change your hair? And, like, did she change her hair? It looked shorter.
It did look shorter.
I mean, she might have gotten a haircut.
But then, if you will notice... For the rest of the episode, she does wear her hair in a ponytail.
Oh
yeah.
Like, as soon as this scene is done and she goes to meet Dean,
oh,
she
right.
has it in a ponytail.
Because she says, bad different, and that's never answered. Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't answer her, so.
I don't know, I feel like the look on his face is kind of an answer of like, no, it's not.
Well, yeah. but yeah, Lorelai does come over because of the ducks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's very excited about this alarm clock.
Yeah, Jess doesn't want to talk to her.
They're super awkward. No. Like, Lorelai clearly is uncomfortable with him. He's uncomfortable with her. Mm-hmm. Apparently Lemon Coke had just come out, which...
Sure.
Yeah. There were a lot of different Cokes that came out in the 2000s. They were always doing different stuff.
2001.
Oh, yeah. It would have been right then. I don't think it's a thing anymore, is it? It might be. I know the Diet Coke.
It was awful. I think it
Diet Coke has, like, a bunch of flavors.
Well, and then you also have those Coke machines where you can, like, put your
the
own
freestyles.
Flavors in.
I used to have to change them at the theater. They sucked.
Yeah.
anyways, I really like that Rory translates Jess's silence. Like, she knows what he's trying to say. He's not even saying anything.
Yeah.
Well, funny.
And I also love, so, like, there's this awkward Coke handoff, and then, you know,
that
Rory goes to
awkward.
Show Jess outside. There's an awkward Coke handoff. Lemon Coke.
Coca-Cola.
No. Rory takes Jess outside to show him where all the stuff is, and she, like, lectures him about how she really wants him to get along with her mom. And this is a really telling conversation.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of is a throwback to early Rory not knowing how to talk to boys at all. She's stumbling. She's awkward. She says something about... You know, if you like me at all, but not like me. And I was like, oh.
If you care
baby,
about me, not care,
baby.
Care. Because he says.
I love Jess.
Why do you
in
think
this conversation?
I care about you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Calls are on it. Why does it matter?
I kind of think it's a little toxic. But I also, I understand that it's cute. Because.
It's classic teenage boy nagging.
Exactly.
Like, classic.
Yes.
And he's teasing her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cute, but he agrees to try, and then he has such a smile on his face. It's so cute.
It's so cute. I love that moment. And the thing is, like, they totally could have not put that moment in, right? But that was, like, such a specific character beat of him smiling to himself about having teased Rory and, like, her saying that she wants him to care. I love it.
Because, like,
and Milo is just so cute.
Yeah, well, he looks good in that outfit.
He looks good in everything.
When does he not? Let's be fair.
But, like, he must have, like, a hint that she likes him. Or at right? Like,
well, he throws in a Lorelai's face at the end of the episode.
Ooh, we're going to talk about that.
So, we're not there yet.
What we are at is buy a book fundraiser. We don't really find out what the fundraiser's for, just charity.
I feel like maybe it's library books, because all of the books have, like, a library label on the spine.
Yeah, it's at the library.
So maybe it's, like, benefiting the library, because I know that a lot of libraries do book sales. This is an awesome book sale, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. Of books.
There's a fundraiser where books are being sold, so there's two things that are going to happen. Rory's going to buy those books, and Dean is going to be super bored. And that's what happens. Dean just sitting there with all these books. Which,
to be fair, apparently he did look for like 20 minutes.
It's been 2 hours.
Which isn't bad.
No.
But yeah, it's not 2 hours.
And I feel for him, because I've been in those situations where you're like, okay, I'll go because this person that I love wants to do something, but like, I don't really want to do it. But you do it, right? And like, I don't think that makes him a bad boyfriend. Right? Being bored.
No.
What makes...
I don't think so.
Not even asking for Lord of the Rings makes him a bad boyfriend. Even though she's so obviously not into it.
I mean, hey, there are so many worse movies that you could ask somebody to watch than Lord of the Rings, but...
I don't think there was... And remind me if maybe I'm forgetting something, but I don't think there was any specific moment in today's episode that made me actively dislike...
I disagree completely. It's about to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, his reaction to... Okay, so she has apparently been shopping for 2 hours, and when she realizes it's been 2 hours, she immediately is like, oh, I'm sorry, let's go. Let's go watch Lord of the Rings. And she does it in, like, a very, like... She's clearly doing it because he's upset, and he calls her on that and says, no, you're not done. And she's like, no, I am done. I had this conversation a million times with my boyfriend of, like... I'm trying to do a thing because I think you want it. Well, don't do it for me. You know, that kind of argument is classic. But while she's checking out, they realize that her bracelet is missing. He looks down at her wrist and sees that it's missing.
Where is it? Why aren't you wearing it?
And freaks out.
Where did it go? Like, it's so like, oh, I'm so sorry that I'm not wearing your prison cuff. Like, I hate that scene so much.
Well, and she... feels like she has to lie.
Yeah, she does lie.
She
yeah.
can't say, oh, I'm just not wearing it today. Or she can't say, oh, I'm not sure where it is. She has to lie and say that she had a rash on her wrist that she didn't get from the bracelet. She got it from her Spanish exam.
You
it's
can
this
just
whole thing.
Not
he
wear a bracelet.
Freaks out.
Like, you can just
I
be just, like,
I
left
it
at
more,
home.
I took it more of like a panic of, oh my God, I don't know where it is. And if I tell him that I don't know where it is, it's going to hurt his feelings. I don't think she was worried about him being, like, overly angry. I just took it as she didn't want to hurt his feelings because she lost something that's, you know, that he made for her that's is precious.
I disagree. Later on, she says, like, when she thinks that she lost it for real, he's going to be so angry at me.
And Lorelai's reaction is also on board with, like, okay, we have to find it. Let's not even talk about if we have to tell Dean the truth. Like, even Lorelai gets in on it, which...
Yeah. Lorelai's responding to Rory's panic.
Yeah.
Rory's reaction can go either way, if you think it's more panic, or if it's more trying to spare his...
playing some devil's advocate.
His feelings. However...
We have a lot of hate on Dean. I thought I'd
that's fair.
Get a little on the other side.
Yeah. He looks great in this episode. His hair is great today.
And to be fair, he was very patient. I mean, to sit there bored for 2 hours
definitely.
While your girlfriend looks at books.
Dean, like, I think probably lives within sight of this book sale. Like, he
could
have gone
home
and waited.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He sat there and waited and let her do her thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't like how he approaches it. It kind of sounds like he's trying to say, how dare you take it off? Right?
Yeah.
And I hate that. I think it's very controlling. That being said, like, obviously, he made something for her, so it would be upsetting if she lost it, I don't think she has to wear it every day of her life, though.
It also could just be more of a habit thing. Like, they've been together at least over a year at this point, I would think, and she's always had it on, and now all of a sudden, a year in, when there's this other boy sniffing around, she doesn't.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, and we find out, though, at the very end of this episode, it's been 2 weeks that she hasn't had the bracelet.
And they're just now noticing.
And it hasn't come up, so it's just kind of like a terrible situation that came from wrong time, wrong place. Yeah.
Well, Dean and Rory, they compromise. She can look at the astronomy section, and he can, or they're going to watch Lord of the Rings, but then they're also going to mock Autumn in New York, which I suppose is another movie.
Never seen
Me
it.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, also, during that scene, while Rory's going off to look at the astronomy section, she's rubbing her wrists. Like, she's like, oh my god, what happened to it?
Yeah, she's anxious.
Yeah, she's freaking out.
As this is happening, there is a Kirk scene.
Yeah. Kirk is trying to bargain for a 65-cent yes. book.
Well, and... there's a reason he ends up with $250,000 in his bank account.
Yeah,
and it's because he haggles over 10 cents.
We do get a gypsy appearance.
She's the cashier.
Gypsy is the one who is running it, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Have we seen Gypsy before this?
Yes.
She checks out the car with Richard.
Oh, right.
But that's it.
Richard in Stars Hollow.
Like, she wasn't at the Bracebridge dinner. I think
that was her first appearance, right? The car? Mm-hmm.
The car. And at this point, though, Gypsy knows Rory enough to say, oh, did you see the astronomy section?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, because I don't think we've ever gotten any hint that Rory might be interested in astronomy before. But apparently she really is, and both Dean and Gypsy know it.
Mm-hmm. I take it as it's a subject that nobody saw her in, so how could you not look at it?
Yeah.
You haven't looked at every single subject here, Rory. What the heck?
Well, meanwhile, back at the Gilmore Girls house, Jess is still working on that roof, and Lorelai starts taking out Chinese food, a ton of Chinese food, and takes out one plate.
Oh my gosh, the dream.
Right. Takes out one plate before, like, hearing Jess and being like, okay, all right, Rory, I'm gonna try.
I'll put forth the
effort. It's a really good show, not tell scene, right? Like, she's not on the phone with Suki and saying, oh, Jess is here. Gosh, I think I should invite him in. It's all played through her, like, expression and her body, which is great.
Well, it shows that Rory's request got to her, and so she is putting forth the effort for her daughter to try to kind of have some kind of nice, positive relationship with him, I guess.
Yeah.
I like that when she approaches Jess immediately apologizes and is like, oh, was I being too loud?
Like, honestly, I don't know how she can experience that and then still think that he's, like, this terrible kid. Like, it was so thoughtful of him to be like, oh, sorry, too loud? No, she just wants to invite you inside for Chinese, which he says no to. But then also it's clear that Rory's talk got to him. And so he says, no, Chinese sounds great.
I was so worried for him when he was going down that ladder.
I hate ladders. Me and ladders are not friends, and it makes me so nervous whenever I see anybody go down a ladder. I used to do, like, stage crew, and doing ladders backstage in the dark, a lot of danger.
I gotta think that the camera angle was like that was because someone was holding the ladder, because otherwise, like, that is dangerous.
Yeah, he was just going.
Jess does come in, and... They kind of converse.
They try.
Yeah, they try. Jess admits that he's not good at small talk, which I thought was really nice. Lorelai saying, like, you're doing pretty okay was really nice. They make
Jess
jokes.
Makes a Yul Gibbons reference about Luke.
Jokes about Luke. Like, one thing, though, is Lorelai asks him about sports. Are you on any teams? Are you a Jersey guy or not a Jersey guy? Lorelai is not a sports person. Right? So why is she, like, she gives him a bad look for not being on a team. And it's like, you're not on a team. You weren't on a team in high school.
I think she was just trying to find something to talk about.
Oh, and he was shutting her down?
I don't think he was shutting her down.
He's a teenage boy. What do teenage boys do? Maybe a sport?
Well,
you know,
I think
she means really her, reaching.
Her, like, reference.
Yeah.
And Dean is
And we know Dean's
boy.
Sporty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really think it was just Lorelai.
Yeah.
Trying to find a topic.
I wonder with this scene, you know, how many good relationships Jess has had with adults, right? Like, he's very smart. He's great at conversing with Rory. But, like, how many healthy relationships has he had with adults where he got used to talking to adults? Like, this is a learning process for mm-hmm. him, I think. Having an adult who's trying to, like, connect with him and they're not talking down to him. It's a whole, yeah.
Because I really think that if Lorelai and Jess were closer in age, they would actually get on very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're very similar. They're just opposite. Like, they're the same, they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they were closer in age, and then also, I will say, if Jess didn't have as much trauma in his background, mm-hmm. that he had, like, such a strong wall up around him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you gotta remember, the first time Lorelai and Jess meet, Jess comes out guns blazing and just destroys Lorelai.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lorelai kind of oversteps in that first, you know, like, hey, I've been there. It's like, well, no, Lorelai, you really haven't. But I think they got off
on the wrong foot.
And then, like, they just never quite manage. Like, this is the best, I think, one of the best moments we have is this, them sitting there eating Chinese together. And, mm-hmm. by the way, I do not think it is possible to have a bad egg roll. Are you kidding me? Like, it's one of my favorite foods. Spring rolls, egg rolls, yes, please. But
I mean, I guess it depends on how old the egg roll is.
Right? She smells the carton.
They are interrupted by Rory screaming. Rory does a lot of, like, yelling from off screen in this episode.
Well, the same kind of yelling. Mom! Mom, come here.
Mom! And Lorelai's immediate response is like, what's wrong? I'm here. But the bracelet is missing, and that means that everybody has to drop everything and hunt for the bracelet.
Rory is panicked, and she's explaining frantically, oh my god, I lost my bracelet. He made it for me. He's gonna be so mad. Like, she's worried about this bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see Jess in the background just sneakily just, like, overhearing.
It's like, I'm gonna get out of here.
Basically.
Yeah. Because at this moment, Jess is the only person who knows the location of the bracelet, because we saw him pick it up on the bridge after their picnic basket, date, whatever you want to call it.
Supposedly 2 weeks ago. It feels like time, wild. But whatever.
But so Lorelai and Rory are just immediately, like, all about looking for the bracelet. Mm-hmm. You know, Rory goes into her room to start looking. Lorelai goes out to the car to start looking. And Jess kind of just makes himself scarce.
You do get a shot of Jess outside, and he looks uncomfortable, even guilty.
Oh, yeah.
He probably didn't realize how important it was, because it's not like she said, you know, oh, this is my special bracelet that my boyfriend made me during the basket date. It was just something he saw she dropped, and he picked it up, and now he's found out.
Well, and again, it's been 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, if she was gonna freak out about it, you would normally think that she would have freaked out about it
literally the second.
A lot longer ago then.
Or during all of the time they spent together that day, while they were book shopping, while they were having pizza, like, there was a lot of time for her to look down at her wrist and realize, my bracelet
Hold
is
on. There was a whole week that happened in that episode. Because they started on Saturday and then ended it on Friday at Friday night dinner. Which,
well, also we had the whole episode with Sherry last week.
So it's been more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Time.
We're not going down the black hole of time. I will say, in terms of, like, habits, though, like, it's a leather strap, right?
Mm-hmm.
She probably just keeps it on all the time.
That's what she said, yeah.
Would you really get in the shower with a leather strap bracelet?
Maybe.
Like, I'm trying to, like, when I get in the shower, I have jewelry. Now, some I do leave on, some I take off, but, like, you know, you take your hair down, you brush your hair out, you take glasses off, whatever. Like, I feel like in one of those moments, it would have been like, that would have been prime, like, oh, crap, where's my bracelet?
Well, Emily.
Within a day or two of losing
it. I think she just didn't care.
Yeah.
It just slipped your mind,
I don't disagree with you, but you wear something religiously for a year.
Yeah.
The first time that you would do something where, you know, kind of do a check on everything before you get in the shower would be prime time to be like, oh, crap, this is missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether you care about it or not, it's something that you've been wearing for a year.
I mean, maybe it's like, maybe it's not leather. Maybe it's like a waxed cord, like the ones that you wear at camp and people just like swim in them and whatever. And she just genuinely, because it seems like it just slipped off her wrist. That's the other thing. It's like a tied on strap.
Yeah, he
bracelet.
Tied it on her.
Yeah.
Knots come loose.
Yeah. Either way, anyway. The bracelet is missing. Jess yep. feels guilty. The girls are hunting for it.
Panically hunting for it. Like, they are...
Yeah.
Like, they lost an engagement ring, kind of panicked.
Yeah. And the next scene, we're at the inn, and Lorelai is hunting for the bracelet underneath the front desk. And apparently, she has also already had Michelle look.
And she has mortally offended Michelle by double-checking.
Right? Honestly, after what he did for them last episode, running for Lane, come on, you have to trust that this guy is going to do what you ask him to do.
I'm going to go with when I lose something, I look everywhere twice.
That's fair.
Yeah.
3-4 times. So, like, I don't think it's a dig on Michelle. I just think that shows how panicked she is about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a controversial thought.
No.
Michelle and Jess, do they have the same personality? It's just that one is, you know, Milo.
One of them has a fake French accent?
Yeah.
I mean, very similar. Do we ever get any direct Jess-Michelle interaction?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They might create, like, a snark
they could,
loop
they
that,
could
like,
talk about
goes
swans.
Back and forth infinitely.
They
both
could.
Hate swans.
They both hate swans.
I just...
Similar, though.
I would say, yes, Michelle is an older and more mature version of Jess. Because Michelle at least learned how to rein it in to get a job.
Well, and less cool, right? Because Jess has that punky cool. vibe.
Well, depending on what you think of as cool, right? I'm sure in certain circles, Michelle would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. He dresses well. He's got a cool job. Well, cool if you're in that circle. And while Lorelai is hunting for the bracelet, she gets a call. And it is
another
Luke
frantic
with his,
call.
What, second... rant of the episode. This is a rant heavy episode for Luke.
Honestly, I
and
felt
I love
it.
This
yeah,
rant.
Right? Like, I've kind of looking for an apartment now, and it is. Why do you have to pay $150 for a parking space?
Right?
Like, what, shouldn't that be included in rent?
Build it into the rent. There should not be extra fees for this.
This is all 20 years ago, and like, all of this still stands up today. Like, everything he's talking about is still nonsense that you have to deal. Like, I rent. I can't afford to buy. I feel you, Luke. Unfortunately, Luke can afford to buy, as we will see later in the episode. But he is super frustrated. He needs help. And he pulls a Lorelai. Whenever Lorelai needs help, who does she run to?
Luke.
Luke. Now Luke needs help. Who does he run to?
The person who put it in his head to go get an apartment to begin with.
Yes.
Well, I think he is running to Lorelai specifically, though. Like, it would, like, if Babette would have been the one, he wouldn't have called Babette. He would still call.
Well, Lorelai. Babette would have never invaded his apartment upstairs to get pancakes either.
True.
Well, Lorelai does leave work.
Lorelai drops everything.
Yeah. Even Rory's bracelet. Like, she's like, all right, Luke needs help. And she goes, and they're in this beautiful apartment.
It's a stunning apartment.
It is a really nice,
And the realtor is, you know, doing her thing, offering spruces. Luke doesn't want the spruce because why would he want one? And
it's a free spruce.
She confuses Lorelai for Luke's wife. And it's...
And Lorelai immediately is like, the role I was born to play.
Hey, it's a fair assumption. Couple in their 30s looking at an apartment.
But also, I mean, assumption. Like, it... totally makes sense. I know that they don't like explain why she goes along with it, but it totally makes sense, especially at this time, to be in that buying market, to tell the realtor that you're married. Your chances would be so much better.
I feel weird about Lorelai's you are bad. Like, it just, it was weird. Bad acting?
She's playing it up.
Bad acting on purpose? So, is she such a good actress that she can bad act on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, like, it's like a wild thing to say. Like, if my husband and I looked like you guys, we would never get dressed or whatever she says. So honestly, if me and my partner were somewhere and somebody said that to us, I would probably respond in the same way. Like, you are bad. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
What else do you say to that? Oh, you've made me super uncomfortable. I need you to leave.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, Luke is angry and embarrassed. More embarrassed than angry.
Well, he kind of...
Luke can't take a bit. No,
he's a little bit angry. Yet. But, I mean, Lorelai has a great point. This is a really nice apartment, and it's an upgrade that Luke should honestly be making. Mm-hmm. Like...
There are multiple rooms.
Yeah.
There's two bathrooms.
Something his current apartment lacks.
Yeah.
And, like, just... There's a kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't...
Yeah. Separate kitchen.
His kitchen is not also his bedroom. Like, that's good. And also...
I love the little built-ins around the windows and stuff.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Stunning. I would love that.
It's not too many windows, so you're not baking in the afternoon heat.
I love all of the times that Luke and Lorelai say the same thing to different people, like, completely independently. Mm-hmm. It's like, every connection between them we have just leads us to them eventually being together, and I love it.
Lorelai points out, by the way, we get a Rachel mention.
Yes, I noted that too.
She points out that Luke is a bachelor. Like, he needs to stop. He needs to stop living this single bed life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, how sad to have a single bed.
Right.
Rachel essentially lived with him while she was there. He had a double bed, at least, at that time frame. Like, when she goes upstairs. So, at some point after Rachel left, Luke made the conscious decision to switch out his queen full whatever bed for a twin.
I'm wondering if maybe he had a full the whole time. And she's referring to it as a single bed because, like, I have slept with another person in a twin bed, and it's not something that you could do long term. No. Like, it's not something that you could do more than, like, one night every so often. It's, you can make it work, but it's not great. I think he probably had a full.
No, he has a twin because I'm jumping forward a couple episodes here when the inn catches fire and Lorelai gets kicked out of her house and goes to Luke's. She sleeps on his twin bed while he sleeps on the couch.
I mean, maybe he was so broken about Rachel that he literally got rid of the bed.
That's my thoughts.
Maybe.
That he just literally got rid of that bed.
Wants no reminders.
Yeah. Poor dude.
Well, we end that scene with Luke. It looks like Luke is going to take this apartment, which would be a lovely apartment to have.
Yeah.
Fills out the application.
Yeah. And Lorelai returns home, walking through her house. And unexpectedly runs into Jess coming out of Rory's room.
Yes.
And it does look suspicious. I'm not going to lie.
It does. Yeah. I totally understand that it looks weird.
Yeah.
Well, he has no reason to be in her house to begin with. He should be outside cleaning gutters.
Right. Unless he was like in there to use the bathroom. But he wasn't. He was in Rory's room.
Yeah. So it's like, it's weird that you're in the house to begin with. Because, I mean... He's a dude. There's tons of bushes outside if he really needed to pee.
I was like, where are you going with this?
I just know what my brothers would do if they were cleaning gutters at somebody's house.
If I was a grown-up and I had a teenage boy doing work on my house, I would tell him he could use my bathroom.
Yeah.
But I would rather that than find him peeing in my bushes.
I feel like that would be worse.
But you know what? To each their own.
But he is inside the house, and like you guys said, walking out of Rory's bedroom. So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah, and he gives an excuse about,
why are you in my house and why are you in
books?
There?
He's checking out a book for her. And then Lorelai walks in, and like the camera is angled on Rory's bed.
Yeah.
Which is gross. Like the implication there is gross. And I don't know if I'm just putting too much thought into it, or like...
Well, honestly, like, that shot reminded me of another shot that we will have a few seasons later, where Lorelai catches somebody in Rory's room and the camera angles to the bed, and you see that something has happened on the bed.
Yeah.
But in this situation, it was like, girl, what do you think he's doing?
Right.
I mean, I know what you think he's doing, but, like, really?
I don't think Jess is that much of a delinquent to do something like that. Like, that is a lot. That's perversion.
I don't think it was necessarily centered on the bed. It was just, Rory has a small bedroom. You can only get so many angles to see Lorelai, like, in the center to also show, like, okay, there's the armoire to the left and her bookcases to the right. You really only see, like, maybe half the bed still made. I think it was just kind of showing, like, Lorelai's looking around like, what are you doing?
Right,
anything in here different?
But she looks specifically only to the bed. Like, it's just, it's, I don't know. I feel like it could have been a wider scene.
Mm-hmm.
It just gave me weird vibes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, later we find out that he was doing something near the bed. It just wasn't anything
she had,
super
like,
sketchy. Right? She had, like, yeah, a sixth sense telling her he was near the bed.
Well, regardless, we cut to Luke, and he's at Dozie's, and Taylor goes to Luke, immediately agitating him, and he has questions mm-hmm. about his application. And the application
now, at first, it's Taylor wants to talk to Luke's, and Luke is just like, okay, go over to the diner, I'll be there soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Well, then he's upset. Then he's upset that Taylor has his application, and we find out Taylor owns that building. Not only that, Taylor owns 10 buildings in town.
Confirmation. Taylor is trying to buy Stars
Hollow. Taylor
he's
and he's
to buy the
not
whole
even
town.
Ashamed. Like, he really thinks that he knows the way that Stars Hollow should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally okay for him to literally buy up the town and tell people how tall their grass can be. And he wants to be a town-wide HOA.
Guys, like, you know what this means?
Who measures their grass?
Well, Taylor.
Taylor.
But you know what this means? It means Taylor's rich. And, like, super
rich. Oh, yeah, Taylor's,
yeah.
like, rich.
Because
mm-hmm.
he's the landlord of 10 apartment buildings.
And that's the cardigan he wears? Sorry.
No,
honestly,
wealth does
right?
not account
it
for
was right
style.
There. It's the Steve Jobs thing, right?
Yeah.
He has a uniform. It just happens to be the exact same cardigan.
Well, we also get Taylor loves fascist parks, which I thought was...
Yeah, like, Taylor's, yeah. like, low-key, like, down with the fascists.
Luke leaves in a huff, and it's funny how he rejects him. He says that I want 2-inch grass.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and yep. in this conversation, you know, Taylor's chasing Luke down because he really wants to talk to him about this. He does
literally
not pick up...
Literally chasing him yeah. down.
He does not pick up that Luke is, like, done. As soon as Luke found out that Taylor owned the apartment, there was no way he was going to be renting or buying or anything, but... Taylor lets it slip that he is interested in buying the flower shop next to Luke's, and he wants to turn it into a collective plate shop.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so Stars Hollow.
He also has a problem with the sign. Luke's sign.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the fact that Williams Hardware is still up there, because he thinks that people will be so confused looking at that sign.
It's gonna confuse the tourists. Yeah. Like, come on.
People are gonna get so confused, even though there's clearly a Luke sign with the Luke's in a coffee cup and a giant food sign on the window. But is this a hardware store? There's one random hardware. Oh, look, it's covered in tables. People are eating. It must be a hardware store.
Well, and it's so interesting, because I feel like we get commentary about Luke's dad, right, from Taylor. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, your dad would blah blah blah, but then at the same time Taylor just has no chill when it comes to, obviously, your dad is important to you,
I think,
and, like, his legacy is important.
You hit
to
the
you.
Nail on the head there, Jess. Taylor yeah. has no chill, just in general.
Yeah, he Taylor has no chill, bad vibes.
But, like, it's the diner has been like this for at least a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you've seen anybody wandering around around town. Well, I just really want somewhere to eat, but I can't find anywhere.
If anything, Al's Pancake no. World should be
right?
the one that has a confusing
yeah,
sign.
Yeah, needs to change their name.
Yeah.
Well, we head back to the Gilmore house where Jess is supposedly finishing up, but, like, there's still so many leaves.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny. I don't know what... Like, at least clean up the leaves if you're gonna... Whatever. And Rory walks by, and she looks so downtrodden. She's so
yeah.
upset. Because she knows what Dean's reaction's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still gonna fight you on this one. I think part of it is, yes, Dean's reaction. But I still think part of it is that the bracelet does mean a lot to her.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have a pair of earrings. It was a gift to me when I graduated high school. There are... earrings made out of my grandma's diamonds, and one fell out on vacation one year in a vacation house, and I was having a full-blown panic attack, and this was strictly because of how much it meant
that's
to me.
Fair
yeah.
not because anybody get mad at me. So I think it's probably a bit of
but
both.
Rory also didn't notice for 2 plus weeks
yeah I noticed. I don't know how for sure how long I noticed, but it was that day. Yeah. I know that much.
But, so, you know, Rory is pretty downtrodden. She's looked everywhere. She just cannot find it. She doesn't know what she's going to do. And Jess really pushes her to, you know, keep looking. Sometimes it's right in front of you. Look in the places you've already looked. Look in your
room again.
Right? Because she's so sad.
Look in your bedroom again.
And he's just like, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. I thought that was cute. Mm-hmm. And she does look in her bedroom again. And guess what? Her bracelet is there.
Oh, look.
Right under the bed.
Must have fallen off while she was sleeping, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, here's the thing. Jess is a smart kid, right? Here's what I would do as the other Jess. If I had stolen something and then while I was at their house, I realized, uh-oh, it means a lot to them. I would have, like, taken the bracelet and dropped it on the front steps and kind of stomped it into the grass a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like it had fallen off her wrist when she was going in or out of the house. And then, like, is this the bracelet? Oh my gosh, I'm here outside where I'm allowed to be. Is this the one you're talking about?
Honestly, come on, Jess. I had the same thought, except yeah. I would have put it in the bathroom near the shower, like,
okay,
just behind a toilet or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and just, like, hide it a little bit, but not so much. But not just, like, straight up under her bed.
Drop it in a dirty basket of laundry. Right? Like, come on, Jess.
I'm still going with the outside. Like, he could have very easily, like, he's already outside. He's mm-hmm. already going to be cleaning up leaves off the ground and stuff right? while he's cleaning the gutters. When they're freaking out, he could easily be like, hey, I found this on the ground. Is this what you're looking for? So easy. Cover it.
We should have been the teenage degenerates, you guys.
Just little jerk.
So easy.
That Lorelai
You're
calls
so
him.
Smart, Jess. You're smarter than this.
Yeah, because Rory runs mm-hmm. off to tell Lane she can stop praying yeah. for the return of the bracelet. And Lorelai goes out and confronts Jess.
She pays him, to be fair.
She pays him.
Yeah. She is angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't have any proof at this point. I mean, unfortunately, Jess does literally give her the proof.
Well, yeah. Yeah. He has to stick it to her because she's sticking it to him.
Yeah. I would mm-hmm. feel so bad as a teenager if an adult talked to me this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's really accusing him. She's really going harsh on him. And, like, she's going on and on about how precious this bracelet is, about how mm-hmm. Rory loves it so much and how cruel Jess is for stealing this.
You didn't hurt Dean, you hurt Rory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, she calls him a little jerk. Like, she's on him and he's just like, It took your the most precious thing that she owns, it took her 2 weeks to realize that it was even mm-hmm. gone. And she wasn't even the one who realized it was Dean.
And Lorelai just shuts down.
Oh, yeah.
What do you say to that?
Because he says,
you might want to reevaluate how madly in love with him she is.
I wouldn't start mm-hmm. calling him son yet.
Yep.
And she just tells him to get out mm-hmm. because she doesn't have a response to that. Also, I really don't think that Jess had any clue that it had something to do with Dean.
No.
Like,
I don't think so either.
Like, this is my Dean bracelet mm-hmm. and pointed at it. Like, how would he know? Unless Dean put his name on it or something.
He wanted a little piece of Rory. And he got mm-hmm. it. And he was keeping it as a memento. Because you also have to think, like, his apartment is a wreck right now.
So, like, he had to keep that safe. Yeah. Otherwise, it would have gotten lost. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if Luke had found that bracelet and then, like, mentioned
honestly,
it to Lorelai?
I think that would have been a better drama.
Yeah.
I don't know if Luke knows what that bracelet is, though.
Well, if Lorelai would have told recognize Luke. It. Like,
or Rory. If Luke would have said something like, yeah, I think Jess must have a girl coming around on a bracelet, you know?
Yeah, I could almost see something like that. I don't think Luke would have been like, yeah, I found this random bracelet
yeah.
and shown it to her.
Well, Lorelai looks like she's been slapped in the face.
Mm-hmm. Well, she kind of was.
Yeah, I mean, when I said emotionally. Jess fights back in my, like, recap, he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, good for him.
She turns around, goes back inside, sits down. And, like, 2 seconds later, just frantic knocking at the door.
Jess and Luke must have passed each other.
Right?
Like, he's storming one way, he's storming the other way. And Lorelai opens the door, and Luke...
I just spent $100,000 and it's all your fault!
He, like, comes in a craze. Like, it's so funny.
It's another rant. Mm-hmm. Like, he is on such a rant roll this episode.
And, like, he doesn't know what to do. He wants to return the building, I guess. Lorelai is just like, calm down, you can, but why would you want to? And he's like, wait, mm-hmm. why wouldn't I want to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can expand Luke's.
I love that Lorelai's, well, you could do this. Yeah. You could do that. And he starts to kind of like calm down of, oh, okay. And can we mention he got a cashier's check for $100,000.
That means he had
There's
money.
No mortgage on yeah. this. Mm-hmm. He just had mm-hmm. this money in his bank account that he bought a commercial building with cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just impressed. That's all.
Luke is also rich. That's what
the
we
men
also
of
found.
This town are doing very well for themselves, weirdly enough.
Yes, they are.
I mean,
right?
I guess that's why he can afford Lorelai and Rory not paying for food.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he has it.
I love that he was so upset about Taylor that he impulse bought a building.
Just so Taylor couldn't.
It's not until Lorelai's like, yeah, you could expand your business.
Or rent
or
it.
You could
yeah.
rent. Like, and he's like, oh, that's what I could do with this thing that I just spent $100,000 on.
So there is a good logistical reason for me to have this.
And he sits yeah. down and Lorelai takes a beat and then she's like, does Jess ever talk about Rory? And I get the sense that Luke understands what she means, right? Like, is there something going on mm-hmm. between
yeah.
them? Because he says, like, I'm also wondering. But we haven't yeah. ever really seen Luke witness Jess and Rory. So this must be off screen?
No, but, like, I think the way that I take this conversation is, like, they are teenagers that are the same age. He knows that they interact. And then she kind of puts it in his head that maybe there's something. Mm-hmm. And Luke is, mm-hmm. like, on board.
Oh, yeah,
he's
totally
like, that would be great. Because mm-hmm. Rory's a great kid. And he sees it as, like, she would be really good for Jess. And, like, yeah, she would be really good for Jess. But after the incident that just happened, Lorelai is having a hard time feeling that way, even remotely.
Yeah.
I get Lorelai's struggle mm-hmm. here, though, because, like, she's like, hey, your nephew is clearly into my daughter. Has he said anything to you? And instead, and Luke just goes straight, oh, that would be great if they were together, where Lorelai's thinking, like, she's in a relationship.
With mm-hmm. the perfect boy.
despite all of the issues that we clearly have, Lorelai is happy with yeah. the boy that she's mm-hmm. with. So it just, it's a weird vibe. Like, it's mm-hmm. almost Luke saying it'd be okay for Jess to come in and break up this couple.
Well, he doesn't like Dean.
So,
yeah.
He literally beat him up in the street.
Yeah, because they had just found out and that he thought Dean broke Rory's heart.
Yeah.
Like, past that, they haven't had any interaction.
Yeah, but I also think that, like, it's one, really common for adults to think that teenagers' relationships are not serious yeah. or not important. That's a pretty common thing, like, in real life and in film and TV. And the other thing is, he cares about Rory. Rory is important to him, but he doesn't see the relationship all the time. So he's not probably mm-hmm. really thinking, oh, but she's in a relationship with Dean. He's just thinking, oh, Rory's a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a great pair. Like, I think his mind is not, yeah, cheating is cool. Breaking up a relationship is cool.
No,
his
I don't
just
know.
No.
I like these two kids. Yeah.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's cheating. It's just, it's kind of a weird vibe for me that he is so on board with it, especially because, like, he does care for Rory so much that he always jumps to, well, Rory would be such a great influence on Jess. He never hits the same side of where Lorelai would coming on. Like, Jess is a bad influence on her.
Well, my argument is he lives with Jess. So at this point, mm-hmm. I think that he gets medium Jess if, like, Rory gets all the way Jess and Lorelai gets
yeah.
nothing. He gets the middle. So he knows that Jess
yeah.
is a
yeah.
good kid, just with an attitude problem.
He mm-hmm. also knows all the things, or at least a good amount of the things that Jess has done, including stealing, putting body outlines outside of grocery stores.
Well, theoretically,
sure
he hasn't done
some,
that,
like,
for months now.
Yeah. Because remember, he's trying to
Or we just
shape
haven't
up.
Seen it.
Yeah.
I think he probably also has some, like, familial love blinders, mm-hmm.
yeah.
right? Like, he loves Jess.
Yeah.
Jess is his nephew. And, like, I mean, we've even talked about it, right? When the people in your life make choices that you don't like, you still love
mm-hmm.
them and you still try to make things good for them
mm-hmm.
because you love them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Is that as much as he loves Rory, Jess comes first.
Yeah.
And
oh,
it makes
yeah.
sense. He's his
Definitely.
Kind of adopted son at this point.
And I love the way that this episode ends.
Yeah.
Like, this is so great. And I love the way that Jess acts in this scene.
Me too.
Because, you know, Luke and Lorelai have obviously talked it out. Luke goes home And he's just got a sledgehammer in his closet. He doesn't say a word to Jess. He just storms
Where else
in,
would you have the sledgehammer?
grabs the sledgehammer, and Jess is immediately like, oh my gosh, he has a sledgehammer. Like,
what
Jess
are you
reacts
doing?
The way that you should react when your uncle runs in and grabs a weapon.
Well, he, like, follows him wordlessly. Like, just like, what is happening? Like,
what
he looks like
you,
a little
right?
child, like, following his parents.
He does.
And Luke just...
And Luke...
obliterates this wall.
That's your room.
The most paper-thin wall I've ever seen. Like, obviously this is a prop wall, but, like, this wall crumbles.
Oh, it's very obviously. Like, I've so...
It's so funny.
There's no insulation. There's no insulation in this wall.
It's a big
it's
empty
just
pocket.
The wooden... I've hit a wall with a sledgehammer before, and, like, the sledgehammer, yes, it goes through the wall. It does not take out, like, a solid foot circumference around the sledgehammer with it.
This is what you want to happen, right?
Yes, this is what you want to happen. That's not what actually happens.
And then but he's yeah. just like...
And I love that, like...
Finish it.
I love that more stuff, like, falls down as he shuts the door when he's leaving. It's like, how poorly built is
right.
this place?
Right? Maybe this wasn't a great investment for Luke.
Jess looks so taken aback. It's so funny. He's like, what the hell is happening? All right, well, that was this episode. Guys, who was the townsperson of the week? This is a hard one for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Luke.
Yeah, that was my choice, too.
I think Luke is the... I feel like Lorelai doesn't do enough in this episode for me to be like, yeah, she's definitely a townsperson. I think that Luke is doing the town a service by buying up a property before Taylor can.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He That's is fair. Stepping out of his comfort mm-hmm. zone to try to make his nephew and himself, but his try to make both of them more comfortable with their
Hates
lives.
Capitalism, mm-hmm. which I totally understand.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, Luke. Congratulations. You win this week's Townsperson of the Week.
Yay! Yay. Yeah. And after Townsperson of the Week, we have References with Sandra.
Right. For this week's references, I decided to focus on the music that's heard or referenced throughout the episode. There were a couple of references that I didn't understand, so I just want to throw them out real quick. Ida Morgenstern.
Oh yeah, at the beginning?
Yes. So Ida Morgenstern is mentioned at the very beginning. She was a character on both the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Rhonda, which was a spinoff of that show.
Okay.
And she was an overbearing and overprotective mother to Rhonda. And then the other person was UL Gibbons, who I had no idea who he was. He promoted eating wild foods during the 1960s, and he was famous for a Grape Nuts cereal commercial where he asked the viewers, "Ever eat a pine tree? Many parts are edible." And then he ate the Grape Nuts and recommended them over the pine trees.
I mean, I love Grape Nuts.
Yeah, they specifically talk about the pine yeah. tree eating and how it would have been very painful
yeah.
to figure out what's edible or
so
not.
So just a quick shout out to those references. But now on to my main three. I will go in order based on the episode. So up first is Price Yeah by Pavement, the first song that we hear blasting out of Jess's stereo while he's sleeping. Admittedly, I did have to Shazam it. Because I had no idea what the song was. This. But Price Yeah by the band Pavement is a 1993 song from their album Westing by Musket and Sexton. Pavement is an American indie rock band from California that is known for avoiding press and live performances and instead attracting considerable underground attention from fans. They're considered to be one of the bands to invent the modern indie sound. And they were a large presence in the slacker culture, most prevalent during the 90s. Their songs were filled with lyrics that were satirical in nature and laced with sarcasm. Are we seeing a little bit of a comparison here? Do we
Sounds
see,
like Jess.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
They did break up in 1999, but they got back together in 2010. They disbanded quickly afterwards. However, in 2020, they would have done a 30th anniversary show, but COVID.
Mm. What's that?
Yeah, right. Sorry. However, they are officially back together now. And so they're actually on tour right now. So if anyone's interested, I'm sure you can find tickets.
Find your very own Jess Mariano at the show.
Right. Up next, we have the CD that Jess gives Rory when he comes over to fix the gutters. So he throws her, Philosophy of the World by the Shags, and that has two G's at the end of it. I thought I was going to have a really hard time trying to figure out which album it was, but I didn't because they only released one album. So it was this one.
Easy yep. enough.
The Shags were an American all-female rock group. They were all sisters. They were formed on the insistence of their father, who believed that his mother, so their grandmother, had predicted a rise to stardom. Unfortunately, they never took off because they were really bad. Like, really, really bad.
Oh, no.
They were described by the Rolling Stones as sounding like a lobotomized trap family.
Oh.
They made 1,000 copies of their album, but the man who promised to make them stole 900 of them and then kept the money that they paid them. Yeah. They tried to circulate to radio stations, but no one wanted to play them. Even the girls were like, this is the worst thing we've ever done.
Oh man, so this is like a special edition CD then,
yes.
that Rory now has.
And then it was even more bewildering. They became wildly popular because they were so bad. And the original pressings of the CD, or rather the LP, were incredibly valuable. But in 1999, they reissued on CD, which is what Jess gives.
Mm. Okay.
But Rory likes kitschy things like that. Like, she likes... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is actually perfect.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you were talking about how bad and awful it was. And I was like, if it's that bad, why would Jess give it to her and be like, I think you would like this. And then, yeah, it hit me like, oh, but they love bad
yeah.
things. Like, they love to make fun mm-hmm. of bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do too. I get it.
Lastly, we have the song that, once again, Jess is blasting something on the stereo when Luke comes over to destroy the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is a What a Wonderful World cover by Joey Ramone. It is...
Okay, I was wondering who that
it's
was.
It's from the album Don't Worry About Me, the debut album by Joey Ramone as a solo artist. And it was released mm-hmm. a year after his death.
And this is Joey Ramone of
yes,
the Ramones.
Yes, so Joey Ramone Correct. From the okay. Ramones. An American punk band from New York City. Now, the Ramones were filled with people with the last name Ramones, but none of them were related. Like, they
oh, I love that.
Made their name Ramones, yeah.
I didn't know that either.
They're often cited as the first true punk rock band, but there were tons of conflict between the band, in particularly Joey and Johnny. Joey was a liberal. He was into drugs, and he didn't like the government. Meanwhile, Johnny was conservative. He was in military school, and he was very strict. They had a girl that they both loved, and Aww. One of them claims the other stole her. Supposedly, Joey claims that Johnny stole this girl from him. Joey actually wrote a song called The KKK Took My Baby Away about the situation,
wow.
indicating that, first off, Johnny was in the KKK, and secondly, like, he was really heartbroken over this situation, right?
Is there a movie about, like, there needs to be a movie about this.
Maybe. I have no idea. There's one about Sid and Nancy, so I'm sure there's something about the Ramones.
Yeah.
So, another situation of a triangle between a girl. I thought that was fitting with Rory, Jess, and Dean. Meanwhile, What a Wonderful yes. World is one of the most iconic songs of all time. It was written by Bob Dylan, I think, and David Weiss, and performed by Louis Armstrong. The song itself is about the beautiful mm-hmm. things in the world, blue skies, colors of the rainbow, not the usual Ramone song. But I think
yeah,
it indicates...
it's an interesting cover.
I think it indicates that things are getting better for Luke and Jess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those were my references. Do you guys have anything you want to say?
No, I was listening to that song mm-hmm. at the end, and I was like, I definitely know this song, but I don't know this mm-hmm. song. And then I realized what it was, and I was like, oh, I love that that's what Jess is listening to.
I will say, in general, I love, like, Pop Goes Punk type
mm-hmm.
covers.
Mm-hmm.
in Kanto coming out, there's a band called Our Last Night that did a cover, a hard rock cover of Surface Pressure.
Oh, wow.
Louisa's song. It's really good.
I loved it.
Yeah, there's a lot of, it's great. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love
it's
it.
So I showed good. It to my mom.
There's a
and
lot
she
of,
cried.
Broadway Goes Punk. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. I love like a hard cover of something that was soft. Mm-hmm. There was this incredible cover mm-hmm. of something from Phantom. I won't get into it, but yeah. So this was very fitting for Jess, I thought.
Well, those were my musical references this week. And up next, we have a book with Emily.
Books, movies, and music with Emily.
Yeah, so this week, when Jess is sneaking out of Rory's room and gets caught by Lorelai, he tells her that he was looking to see if Rory had Franny and Zoe. Franny and Zoe is a book by J.D. Salinger. It's two short stories, one of Franny and then technically a novella of Zoe. They were published together as a book in 1961, but they were actually originally in The New Yorker as separate short stories. So Franny in 1955, and then Zoe in 1957. Franny and Zoe are siblings. They are the two youngest members of the Glass family. Franny tells the story of Franny Glass, Zoe's sister. She is an undergrad at a small liberal arts college, and it takes place in just a college town during a weekend visit to her boyfriend, Lane. Which I liked, the connection there. It's kind of her story. She gets disenchanted with the selfishness and inauthenticity she perceives all around her, so she aims to escape it through spiritual means. Zoe is set shortly after Franny in the Glass family apartment in New York City's Upper East Side, while Zoe's younger sister Franny suffers a spiritual and existential breakdown in their parents' living room. Leaving their mother, Bessie, deeply concerned, Zoe comes to Franny's aid, offering what she thinks is brotherly love. And there's conflict from there, essentially. It's two short stories. It doesn't take very long to read. It actually did spend 26 weeks at the top of the New York Times fiction bestsellers list in 1961 and 62. It got generally good reviews. John Updike, who is a critic, said that it was more than adequate.
Wow.
That's what I want. Hey, more than adequate.
He did praise Salinger's characters, saying they melt indistinguishably together in an impossible radiance of personal beauty and intelligence.
That's more beautiful. That's better.
It's very wordy. Well. Other people called it an appallingly bad story and a piece of shapeless self-indulgence.
Yikes.
So take with it what you will. It's not an overly controversial book. It's just two interesting stories about a family in New York, essentially.
So, earlier last year, I had to go to California for a little bit because my grandfather was sick. And while I was in LA, I had to go to a bookstore. Like, it was a rare bookstore. So we went there. It was only open on Saturdays, and it was only open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., right? Ooh. And they sold these rare books. So I went in, and I'm like, these are going to be super expensive, right? And I'm like, what am I going to get? I guess whatever they have, right? So I got Wuthering Heights. It actually wasn't too bad. It was like $7 or something.
That's
no,
not
it
bad.
Wasn't
wow.
bad at all. But it wasn't like a rare copy. It was just a regular copy. But I was like, I need to find a rare book, right? And I was looking for Catcher in the Rye because that I love that book so much. And that is also by J.D. Salinger. And I looked and it was $700 for this book. And it was like an original, blah, blah, blah. It signed all of this.
First edition print. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, I can't afford that. What else do you have? And he was like, well, I have Franny and Zoe. It's $20.
Oh.
I was like, okay.
So have you read it? Did you read it?
I have not read it. I do have it. I'll read it one day.
Okay.
I'm trying to get through the list of books that I have right now, but
yeah, same.
I do have it, so I want to read it. Now that you said it, it's so mediocre. I'm kind of like, I want to read it more because I want to know what makes it mediocre, but we'll see.
But, I mean, it was enough, it was good enough that Jess thought that Rory should have it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to be fair, melt indistinguishably together in an impossible radiance of personal beauty and intelligence. Like, that is praise, I feel like. That is just, that's an impressively, I don't even know how to describe that.
It was masterful writing.
Yes, thank you. My brain is dead. It's 9:30.
That's fair.
Sandra, if you ever, if you get the chance to actually read the book, let us know how it goes.
We'll see.
What you think of it. But after that, we have Fashion with Jess.
Making fashion choices, making fashion choices, making fashion choices with Jess.
Okay, a very short episode in terms of days seen on screen. However, Lorelai manages quite a few costume changes in, like, 1.5 days. I've been kind of just doing best, worst, and steal for this season because it's quicker, but there are so few outfits that I think I can just go through almost all of them. So our first scene with the girls, we have, I think, the most memorable outfit of the episode, which is Lorelai in the kitten t-shirt with a bedazzled rhinestone crown. The kitten is wearing it, not Lorelai.
And a necklace. And a necklace.
It also has a necklace.
And a black, like, necklace. Oh, and the cat has a necklace, yes.
And yeah, then, a rhinestone necklace on the cat, yeah, sorry.
It's very blinged out. She's got a pink zip-up hoodie and then a baby blue puffer. And she's got a kind of bubbly, beaded-looking headband. And then Rory's outfit, I was so distracted by the cat that I kind of missed Rory's outfit on my first pass.
It's pretty
miserable. But Rory is wearing a light blue cardigan with a white shirt underneath, and it's buttoned almost all the way up. But the weird thing about Rory's cardigan is that it appears to have a drawstring at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a sweatshirt, and then it wasn't.
I thought it was just like a blouse.
No, it appears to be a... It looks like a cardigan because she does have a full shirt on underneath. It does have a drawstring. And I was just like, what a vibe. The 2000s
that this week's poll?
Had...
Is this a cardigan, a blouse, or sweater?
What is this thing? But yeah, I thought that Rory's outfit was kind of whatever. Lorelai's was a standout. She's also wearing some lighter wash jeans that look great on her. But
Lorelai looks phenomenal in jeans, always.
Oh yeah, always.
I'm so
always,
jealous.
Always. The next outfit we see Lorelai in is when they are at the Gilmore house. This is when Jess arrives to do their gutters. Lorelai has changed at this point, it's the next day, into a sweater with a very deep V, but it still has a collar, which I thought was really interesting. It took me a while to figure out what this item of clothing was. I thought maybe it's a button-up, but no, it's not a button-up. It does appear to be a deep V-neck sweater that has an open collar built into it. And Rory is wearing a red sweater with a really sweet little necklace. She's got a little heart necklace on, which I thought was cute. And Jess is wearing a red t-shirt over a long-sleeve black t-shirt. And the t-shirt says Punk Planet on it. And I did search for Punk Planet to see if this was a brand or if this was a special shirt or anything. I couldn't find anything about it. I found a lot of pictures of Jess wearing this shirt, but unfortunately nothing about Punk Planet itself.
Jess just went out and bought a stamp and threw it on the shirt and called it a day.
Is it just me or is there a lot of that dark blue in this episode?
In this scene? Yeah. Well, especially in this scene, Jess has got the dark blue jacket, Rory's got the dark blue shearling coat, and then Lorelai is wearing the dark blue. Yeah. Honestly, it made me feel like my brightness had been toned down. Mm-hmm. I did try to turn up the brightness on my screen just because the colors were all so dark.
Mm-hmm.
During this same day, Lorelai has another outfit change. She changes for work, and for work, she wears a black turtleneck, a black striped mini skirt, and tall black boots with no apparent hose. That was very reminiscent, Sandra, you mentioned earlier, it was very reminiscent of the Sherry outfit from last episode, just with the short skirt, tall boots.
And the jacket, too. It's a long jacket.
And the jacket. She wears her great gray jacket that she's been wearing. Yeah, so it's a fine look. It's all monochrome, right? Black on black on black. Here's the thing. So usually I do best, worst, and steal, right? I really didn't feel like there were any major standout looks to me. Obviously, the kitten shirt with the pink hoodie is, like, such a Lorelai vibe. I think for me, that pink hoodie is going to be my steal item. I desperately wanted a Victoria's Secret pink hooded sweatshirt when I was in college, and I never got one. And I think that I'm a little too old now to wear a Victoria's Secret pink, but I could wear just like a pink sweatshirt and it would be cute. So that's my steal. I don't think anybody was worse dressed. I know some people would probably argue that the kitten shirt is too weird, but it falls into that same category for me as that puppy sweater last episode, mm-hmm. where it's like so silly that it doesn't feel like a real outfit. It almost feels costumey. And then best dressed, I mean, maybe Lorelai's work outfit. Nothing really stood out. Do you guys have any really strong opinions on any of these looks?
I want the kitten shirt.
I don't want it.
Kind of great about it.
I don't want it to be as form-fitting as I think it is on Lorelai, and I'd want it mm-hmm. to be a little longer, so maybe a slightly different fit, but, like, I just love all cat shirts.
Yeah.
So, especially one with rhinestones on it.
There's this really great shirt that I've seen online, and it is Gandalf, but Gandalf is a cat, and I would buy that in a heartbeat. I'll tell mm-hmm. you all right now. If anybody knows where I can buy it, tell me. But yeah, so I would say my steal is the pink hoodie, no best dressed with a maybe half sleigh to, oh wow, Emily has pulled up the Gandalf cat and it is,
oh my
it is
gosh.
Available on Amazon from the mountain, cat doll.
You know what, I like, I think I just like Milo, because I was about to say, like, I think Milo mm-hmm. looked really cute in this episode, like Jess did. But then I'm like, did his individual clothing look good, or was it just him?
That's the thing.
It's just
like,
him.
Yeah.
Milo can wear anything and look good. He can wear nothing and look good.
Hey,
you know, he's just one of those people. Just one of those people. But yeah, so as my final wrap up, steel pink hoodie, best dressed, half sleigh to Lorelai's cat shirt. No real worst dressed. Yeah, if you have strong thoughts, please write in and tell us. The past couple of episodes, I've been putting a fashion recap up the day after our podcast goes live, so you're welcome to go to our Instagram and comment on that post if you have disagreements or agreements or any other fashion thoughts. But yeah, and I mean, speaking of our Instagram, up next we have Stars Hollow Speaks. All right, so we had a couple of comments about our episode from last week with Sherry's appearance. So Tayshia said, so excited for this one. I've waited for Sherry for so long. Even though her character isn't the best, Madchen Amick is a boss and Twin Peaks was just the greatest. Shout out to everybody who put together that I used the Twin Peaks theme song and Sherry's picture on our Instagram story. I just love that. We also had a response from Ellen, who said, this does not look like Sherry. I had to look at it 3 times.
Honestly, that photo does not look like Sherry at all.
Yeah.
I picked it because it is from the episode, and she's smiling, and Chris is looking at her, and I thought that that was a very telling image. So that's why I picked it. Sorry, I made you guys go a little face blind. And we do have some other comments about this episode. Clarissa wrote in to say, the conversation Lorelai and Jess had when she offered him the Chinese food had so much potential, and the fact that they both decided to try and get along for Rory is very sweet. And on a different note, love, love your podcast. You guys are my ultimate comfort listen. I'm in Europe, and with the horrors happening in Ukraine at the moment, your podcast is such a wonderful escape. Thank you so much, Clarissa. We hope that you and everybody who listens to us from overseas is safe. You are all in our thoughts, and
yeah,
we are all standing with you guys. We also had a message from Gabriella, and Gabriella actually has a fashion comment, so I'm glad that we're reading this. She said, can I say how wonderful Lorelai looks in the black top, skirt, and boots with a long gray coat? So I think that would be Gabriella's vote for best dressed. Mm-hmm. I would not disagree. She said, OMG with the fire emoji. Also, I do love how much banter we get in this episode. Luke and Jess talking about apartments, and Luke and Lorelai pretty much the entire episode have great chemistry and helping each other. Yes, please. I know you're all Team Jess, but am I the only one suspicious to what Jess planned to do with the bracelet? holding onto it for weeks without saying anything feels weird to me. Yeah. I mean, we never really get an answer about what his game plan was.
I don't think he had a plan, guys. I think he was just
a teenage boy.
He wanted a little bit of worry with him all the time.
Yeah. But thank you so much for your message, Gabriella. Definitely got us thinking.
Yeah.
And then we also got a message from Ninja Slayer Girl on Instagram for today's episode. Said, I thought it was cute in this episode how Jess wanted to make sure Rory had Franny and Zoe and he was going to get it for her if she didn't. I'm not 100% convinced that that was his plan there, and he was might have just been talking out of his butt, but. And then
sweet all the same.
It is. It is sweet all the same, yes. And then we also had a couple of comments from C. Renee on Instagram about today's episode. She said, also weird that Jess is creeping around in the house, but cute that he returned the bracelet. And big red flag that Rory is so afraid of Dean. Go away, little boy. With kind of like a weird, I don't even know what that face is supposed to be. It's like the weird half smile, like crooked smile face.
Controversial apparently, but I also agree it's a big red flag. I think it's really weird that she's so agonized over his reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just loved breaking it up a little bit today. and then from Tayshia as well. Tayshia said that she really, really loved when Lorelai and Jess started to bond over leftovers, and he did that just for Rory.
Yeah.
He did. It's very sweet. They're both trying as of before 5 minutes before the episode ended.
Right.
They tried. They tried, period. And it's over now.
Trying, done.
So the big drama in this episode, of course, is this lost bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
So I did put a poll up on Instagram. I was like, I summarized the situation. Jess takes Rory's bracelet that falls off. He did not steal it from her hand. It did fall off. However, he did not immediately give it to her either. Several weeks, either two or three, go by. Dean realizes that Rory no longer has it on. Rory freaks. Jess returns the bracelet after he realizes she's panicking about it. Mm-hmm. And I asked, is this cute? He didn't realize how important the bracelet was. Is it straight up stealing? Crush or no crush? Or, because Instagram now lets you do three options on a poll, and I was so excited, is this too much drama? It's just a bracelet. So I asked that to our audience, and here are the results. At last place, with 19%, is that is straight up stealing, crush or no crush. In second place, with 38%, call it cute. He didn't realize how important the bracelet was. And with 43%, this is just too much drama. It's just a bracelet. And I agree, guys. It is just a bracelet. Yep.
It reminds me, Charlie is obsessed with JoJo Siwa right now. And
those.
I don't even remember what the song is called, but it starts off with like, not dealing with drama, and like that song is just going over in my head now.
I mean, it is a very teenage situation, isn't it? Like,
it is, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Theoretically, I feel like this bracelet is compared to an engagement ring at this point. Like, it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jess even makes a quip kind of about something like mm-hmm. that, like a Bye Bye Birdie reference.
But it's not. It's just a bracelet, and it is very teenage. There was a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's one of those things where it feels like it's the end of the world mm-hmm. at the time, and then 5 years pass and you don't even remember it happened.
Yeah. I mean, think of, like, if they had done a scene in A Year in the Life, if Rory had, like, come across that bracelet in her childhood bedroom while she was home visiting. She'd be like, oh, hey, and then she would have just tossed it to the side, never to be seen or looked at again.
Honestly, I think after a while, Rory loses all respect for Dean. So I don't even think
we'll get there. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
She would care about the bracelet. La 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 la. Well, to end off this episode, we have coffee, guys.
Oh yeah, did we have any coffee?
There was no coffee in this episode.
No coffee.
No, they went to Luke's, but Luke wasn't down.
It was kind of a Luke-heavy episode too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Presumably they would have had coffee once they got him to come down and cook mm-hmm. for them, but we didn't see it, didn't so it doesn't it. Count.
And it wasn't mentioned either, so, like, no coffee. It was a coffee-less Gilmore Girl episode. But yeah, that was Lost and Found. Good episode, I think.
Yay, it's found.
Yeah.
I like it. It's not one of my go-tos, but, like, I like it.
It kicks off a number of things that will continue for seasons to come. Like, even just Luke buying that building is something that will, mm-hmm. you know, have impact for mm-hmm. episodes and seasons to come. So,
yeah,
that a good way.
Being said, next week's episode is one of my all-time favorite episodes. And it is one I rewatch constantly.
I do love next week's mm-hmm. episode. I can't wait to do that one.
But until then, I was Sandra. Thank you for listening.
And I was Jess.
And this is Emily. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks again so much for listening. As always, we do love to hear from our listeners. You can reach us on Instagram at townmeetingpod. Send us an email at townmeetingpod@gmail.com. Or you can now support us at buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting. Thanks, guys.